This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And now,
the king is in! 5 touchdown passes for Lamar!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The last 4 AFC Offensive Players of the Week have gone Derrick Henry, Lamar.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Founder of John Boy Media, Jimmy O'Brien. WWE superstar, The Miz. Actor, Ted McGinley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. We're all over the map today. We love doing shows like this. In-studio guests galore. Entertainers, actors, wrestlers. And by entertainers, I mean Albert Breer. He's very entertaining. And he's on his way right now. In a car to this studio to join us in 20 minutes time, if not sooner. He's in town for tonight's Thursday night football game on Prime Video, which you can see right here through our Roku portal. That's how we're rolling into Vikings at Rams. What a big game this is to kick off week number 8 tonight, an NFC contest that's got a lot going on, and we'll talk about it with Albert Breer in a moment. And then John Boy to help preview the World Series that begins tomorrow night between the Yankees and Dodgers just up the road in Dodger Stadium. And then we've got The Miz strolling in here. We'll check his work on his 17-0 prediction for the Cleveland Browns this year.
Let's see how that worked out.
Oh, my gosh. 17-0.
Yeah. So there's that.
And then we might want to revisit that.
And then I'll be honest, man, one of the best – celebrity true or false as we have ever set up is set up for Ted McGinley, who has been on TV and in movies, but TV predominantly damn near my whole life. And he's in the brilliant show Shrinking, which is on Apple TV. And it's a terrific show. You're going to love it if you haven't seen it yet. Harrison Ford is in it. Jason Segel. It's created by Brett Goldstein, who many people of you might know as Roy Kent. Fame from Ted Lasso. It's so great. Ted McGinley's on the show. We've got a celebrity true or false that involves Revenge of the Nerds, yes. Married with Children, The Love Boat, and Happy Days. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
So there's all of that. And you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. Whose house? Rams house.
That's tonight.
I'll be at the game.
Are you going
tonight? We'll be there.
Fantastic.
Locked and loaded. Let's go.
Yeah, Rams at 2-4, and we'll talk about a little bit of what's at stake there in a second. How are you, DJ Mikey?
I'm doing
D?
Well, Rich. How you doing?
I am doing better for seeing you. TG Jefferson, candles lit. How are you?
Great, man. How about you?
I'm great. You know, I'm distracted by those flowers over there still.
Still alive.
Similar,
still
kicking. It's kind of like the wall here in Los Angeles.
He's really just goes
kind of like the wall. Just goes straight up.
Straight up.
Trying to distract me, but I'm not missing any free throws.
Kevin Durant missed 2 last night. Yeah.
And so we'll talk about the wall as well on this program.
That bomber was going nuts.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's the new star of the NBA is the wall right? Here at Intuit Dome in Los Angeles.
You see Tormund Giantsbane manning the wall? Did you?
I did not see that.
Tormund.
Very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let us talk a little quickly about what's at stake tonight here in Los Angeles, California. The Rams are 2-4. Puka Nacua, as we know, gave it a go after hurting his knee in preseason, and we haven't seen him but for one series this year. And there's word he might return tonight. We'll talk about that with Albert Breer when he joins us shortly. Yeah. But is Cooper Kupp really on the trading block right now?
Dude, sounds like it.
I mean, Cooper Kupp is available. And I don't know what Les Snead is asking for Cooper Kupp. And I mean, and when people hear Cooper Kupp's available, does that mean Matthew Stafford's possibly available? But this is a Rams team that just won last week. And if they win tonight, they're 3-4. They're in the mix.
In the mix.
And last year, they were out of it and then made the playoffs. With a tremendous run at the end of the season. And with the Rams, you never know. Like, Les Snead will just move on and have a different plan and just look at the team and he will just say, you know what, this ain't it, and we're going to go with a plan and send off one of the best we've ever had. And Cooper Kupp is a Super Bowl MVP and a Triple Crown wide receiver winner just a couple years ago, but he's difficulty staying healthy and... And he's going to be back tonight, supposedly. And if he's playing, does that mean the Rams are going to keep him? Why would you risk having him go out there, re-injure whatever he's finally over, and And then suddenly you're now not improving for the future and you're not improving for the present. And 9 and 10 have just hooked up together, Stafford and Kupp. Like, that's one of the best combinations we've seen in this league for the last 5 years. Plain and simple. And it's kind of wild that tonight's game could inform us about what the Rams do. If they lose, they're 2-5, then suddenly, yeah, maybe everyone's kind of available if that's the way they're thinking. If they win tonight, they're 3-4. And then the Vikings are 5-2 in a span of 4 days. They go from one of the lone undefeated teams remaining, the lone undefeated team remaining in the NFC, to 5-2 in just a span of 4 days. Sunday to Thursday. That's how quickly things can change. That's why the NFL stands for not for long. And Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings, thanks in part, large part, to what he did together with Sean McVay and Stafford and Kupp together in the championship run. And the Vikings are like, we'll take something from the fruit of the McVay Ram vine, and we'll take him and start trying to win football games in Minnesota, which they did to win a division title. And now with Sam Darnold in the mix, Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings are sitting at 5-1. And if they win this, they can just wipe out the loss of the Lions to the Lions out of their mouth right away, and then have a nice mini bye sitting at home at 6-1, watching the rest of the conference have at it. And then they're home for Indianapolis on a now freshly flexed into Sunday night football game in week 9, visiting Jacksonville and Tennessee and Chicago, 3 in a row away, but two of them against the bottom of the they play the AFC South three weeks in a row. So they can go into that 6-1 and really push the pedal to the metal before they face Chicago for the first time on the road. This is a big game, man. Tonight's a big game on Prime Video. That is what is at stake tonight. And we will see again Sam Darnold. Can he flip a little bit of the script here? You know, he started as the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to go 4-0 with a new team and have two touchdown passes or more in each of the four wins. A little higher register. I mean, you know, he got it done against the Jets in London. That's not an easy thing to do. And then he comes out and, hey, they were up by 1 point thanks to the defense against the Lions with a couple minutes to go, but couldn't string enough first downs together to win that football game. That's what's at stake tonight.
You going to take the Rams?
I don't know. I really don't know about this one, because this is exactly the type of game the Rams can win.
Totally. Absolutely.
With Cooper Kupp scoring two touchdowns and Stafford is dealing sidearm, no looking, and then the defense can suddenly start making play. And Kyren Williams, 9 games in a row with at least a rushing touchdown.
Oh, he does.
Yep.
He scored a touchdown.
And Aaron Jones is pretty damn good himself. Justin Jefferson. This is a fun game tonight. Mm-hmm. Fun game on Prime Video. And then one other thing to just hit, because we didn't hit this yesterday because we were just chock full of stuff. Last we heard from Jerry Jones on Tuesday on 105.3 The Fan in the Metroplex in his weekly Tuesday chit-chat. He did something that you don't hear from him. And this is the truth. You do not hear from him being passive-aggressive towards his head coach publicly. You just don't hear it. I know Jerry has that reputation for being a wild card, wild catter when it comes to his head coaches because of what he did with Jimmy Johnson in the 90s. He has been nothing but patient with his guys who are wearing the headsets pretty much since then. You know, Chan Gailey and Dave Campo stuck around, I think, longer than you would have liked, TJ.
Yeah.
Right? And then Wade Phillips. And then our clapping friend on NBC.
Yeah, well, Wade's the only one that got in the middle of the year.
Right, and he didn't want to do it.
Right.
But the bottom fell out so significantly, and he turned to Jason Garrett, who he didn't turn away from until years later. And but this soundbite that he gave everybody about how the concepts, the play concepts were bad amidst a whole mishmash about how Derrick Henry wouldn't have fit in their offense and wouldn't have had a career year like he's having in Baltimore if he went to Dallas, which is kind of wild. Because he kind of should fit your offense to Derrick Henry if you have him. And I think he would have definitely taken the pressure off of Dak and let him play freer. Look what he's done alongside the defending MVP. So Mike McCarthy spoke yesterday, I believe, after we went off the air and was asked about the concepts. Soundbite. Hit it.
You know, I talk to Jerry all the time. You know, we've had time to go through the self-scout. So I can't really... I didn't see the comments specifically, so, but I don't think we have bad concepts in that place. But I'll go back and check. But we're not where we want to be. I mean, that's clearly, and it ultimately is my responsibility, and I'm fully aware of that. But, you know, we are very diligent. We're on top of what we want to do. At the end of it, we just got to tighten up our communication and make sure our guys are playing fast and the ability to play faster than the opponent, and with that comes confidence, and I think that's what we're clearly working towards, and that's what we want to do Sunday night and get that win.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, good luck.
You know, everyone who thinks Mike McCarthy's got, what, like his head in the clouds, he doesn't know what he's, the concepts are, they're, week one, how'd the concepts look? You know?
He just doesn't doesn't have the players. The running game is terrible.
The line is terrible.
The line is not good, which has been a staple of Dallas for how long, TJ? 30 years.
Which is my argument about Derrick Henry. I mean, yeah, you could get Derrick Henry, but the Ravens clearly have a better offensive line.
Well, but the Ravens' offensive line, you could make a case, is a little bit too handsy, you know? And that was part of, and took a half of September to figure out how to line up legally.
And when they did, right? Now look at what Derrick Henry's doing. Once everything started to click.
But you also have a tremendous quarterback that's standing there in the pistol formation to hand it to Derrick Henry. You don't think that would have worked with Dak Prescott behind it? This offensive line is not terrible. Come on now. You got a Hall of Famer sitting on it, too. You know,
he's having perhaps his worst season.
Maybe so. I don't, but... You could say, well, the reason why the run game isn't good because the offensive line isn't any good.
Well, doesn't that kind of go hand in hand?
I know.
Have you ever heard anyone who is
or if the guys who you're handing it to aren't hitting the hole? Well, there are no holes for Dallas.
I mean, if we're gonna,
I can't sit here and listen. You watch more Dallas football than I do. I just can't sit here and say Derrick Henry wouldn't have been successful in Dallas this year. I can't sit here and say that.
I'm not going to say that either. But that team has a lot of holes.
Because you can also probably put, what, 7-8 in the box if you need to? Who else is trying to, you know, who's going to beat you?
You wouldn't do that if he was there. I'll grant you that.
Or you try to do that, and then CeeDee Lamb would be a little bit more open. I just can't buy that Derrick Henry, being in Dallas, would have Dallas's offense looking like this, and he would have, you know, half the yards that he has.
Look, Rich, this could be a defense mechanism on my part, all right? I might just be trying to, all right? I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just saying words.
It just goes back to what we said kind of in the offseason. They're a top-heavy team. The depth isn't there. There's no one second, third wide receiver that you're afraid of, that you might throw a flex in your fantasy or whatever. You know, they just don't have it. And so when guys go down or the top guys are struggling, this is what it's going to look like. Trouble.
So let's do the sports talk radio thing.
Now you're speaking my language.
See, now you just lost me.
Well, no. The sports talk radio thing with Dallas. This sounds like something out of Monty Python. Oh. The finger of blame.
You're a rabbit.
The finger of blame goes on Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, the general manager. Jerry Jones, the GM, does not do Jerry Jones, the owner, right, or Mike McCarthy, the head coach,
right,
Mike McCarthy, the offensive coordinator, any favors. And he hasn't for a long time.
If brave Sir Robin walked up to AT&T Stadium with the finger of blame, McCarthy and his concepts and the offense, or the roster that's been handed to Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, it's the groceries.
Come on.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't you think?
A good chef can put together stuff in the fridge and make a nice meal, but if you give them some really great ingredients, think about the meal you're going to get.
It's also, listen, no Micah, no Tank, no Deron Bland, right?
True.
That was my argument for a few weeks.
And should we potentially give Dallas the benefit of the doubt that we're giving San Francisco, or at least I am, saying let's see how they look when they're fully constituted again, right?
I mean,
so... So there's that.
There's that.
But you want to go to X with this one?
Yeah.
You want to go to Twitter with this one?
I think it'll be a blowout.
You think it would blow out?
Might be a blowout. Yeah.
Or you want to give a third choice of combination of both?
Ooh. What do you want to say? You want to say Jerry the GM, no. Mike
where's,
McCarthy?
Where's the finger of blame?
This is going to be like 99
right,
to
so
1%.
All right.
Finger of blame.
Finger of blame is really funny there.
Don't you think?
I'm going to write it down as a fantasy name.
Fantasy team name, Finger of Blame.
That's a good name.
It's also what? Like a, you know what that sound? It does sound like one of those British invasion songs, right? From the 70s, like
it's
the 60s.
It's Finger of Blame.
You know what I mean? Sounds like a Fox game show.
Oh, yeah.
Up next on Finger of, Rob Lowe hosts Finger of Blame.
The floor is lava. I did not work that.
Anthony Anderson hosts Finger of Blame.
Finger of Blame.
That's Fleet Week. We figured it all out. Yeah.
It's Fleet Week on Finger of Blame.
Fleet Week. Good one. All right. Well done, gents. Look who's here, Brad, looking all chic.
I've been waiting to say that.
Albert Breer is joining us here. He made it from his meeting for Prime Video. We appreciate the Prime Video folks breaking him early so he can hang with us. We come back. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated and Prime Video's coverage of tonight's huge Thursday night football game between the Rams and the Vikings. You can see right here on the Roku portal.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look who's joining us from Sports Illustrated and Prime Video.
Let's go.
Albert Breer.
A rare in-season appearance.
I know
this,
that.
This might be the first one.
It's kind of crazy. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, stay home when we're on the East Coast, but hop a flight
Wes, but I'm sure you don't mind. You're out here for a big Rams-Vikings game.
I mean, this is a big one, definitely.
And we'll talk about that when the radio audience returns in a second. But so you were in the production meeting, and they broke out soon.
I had to excuse myself.
That's great. Which, so like,
sorry, Carissa, Whit, Fitz, Tony.
So they're all in there? Everybody's in there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it?
Sure, yeah.
Spoon, the producer.
Yep.
Who has a history with this show.
Big shout out to Spoon.
I know. Without Spoon, this, you know, our pod doesn't become as good of a TV show as it was.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, so you and he worked together in tandem to put the show.
No. Actually, Spoon was the first me.
Yeah.
So Spoon did the first couple of episodes.
Okay.
And then Jason Kleinman did the next couple. And then I came on at like episode 7. And then did the rest.
And then did the rest.
Yeah.
I was there from the beginning, Rich.
I know. You did the sound. Yeah, I remember when we had Brady.
I got yelled at every day because we would move stuff and they would be screaming at me. Why are you doing this? I go, it's for Rich's podcast.
Like, and you did it. You did it. You weren't like not even assigned to it, right?
Like, no,
you were doing it. I know.
Yeah. And then
that's when we decided to include you in some of these things.
Well, that was like a year later.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's weird because the one thing I remember about it was like how Rich would always refer to the closet. And Rich, you were relentless in promoting it, so credit to you for that.
Well, it's because I was relentless in promoting it, and I called it a closet because I thought we should have been on the main set, but there were some people there in charge who, you know, either never dawned on them or because it wasn't their idea.
Yeah.
You know, just put us in some sort of VO closet, and we made fun with it.
Check over on Washington Boulevard.
2011.
When no one was doing a show like this, we were the most a kind of original sports show.
And there was no football because there was a lockout.
And there was nothing happening.
Oh, my God. That's why I don't have as much hair as I do. At any rate, we're happy to be here. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look who is here. It's Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated and Prime Video. What a big game. Yes, round of applause again. Big game tonight, brother.
Huge game, yeah. I mean, I think for the Vikings is a chance to bounce back. And, you know, like the Lions took it to them. And I think, you know, one of the things the Vikings took from that was like what it's going to take to compete on that level. Cause the Lions are on that level, you know? And so they start 5-0. This is kind of their, all right, like we took a 10-0 lead on the Lions. It feels like the roof's going to collapse. It's so loud in there. And Detroit, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, like calmly put their foot in the ground and turn that thing around. So,
which is what a championship, team does on the road in division, right?
Yep. And then for the Rams, it's sort of, I mean, God, like with what might happen with Cooper Kupp in the next, week and a half. Like,
are they really? Let's pause there, man. Are they really shopping Cooper Kupp?
They're not shopping him. They're taking phone calls on him. The mistake that people make is they don't need to shop him. Teams are calling them. I mean, they don't need it. You see Hopkins gets traded and Cooper gets traded and Devontae gets traded. And of course, these teams are also calling the Rams because the Rams are sitting there at 2-4 and they were 1-4 before Sunday.
Yes.
And so, yes, the Rams have taken calls on Cooper Kupp. And I think the question is going to be whether or not the value matches up, because what they've told teams is that it's going to cost you more than it cost the Jets for Devontae Adams to get Cooper Kupp out of here.
Which is a 3 to become a 2, but it becomes a 2 with some really lofty
first
goals.
Or second team all pro, yeah.
And also on a roster of a championship weekend or a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so like I think that part of it... So for the Rams, you can understand their point of view there, which is this is an iconic player. Game winner in the Super Bowl, was a part of Sean McVay's first draft class here. Really, Cooper Kupp's a huge part of them getting their foothold in Los Angeles. So this is an icon, right? And it's a bad look if you're trading an icon for a third or a fourth round pick, right? This is a franchise icon. On the other end of it, if you're a team looking at Cooper, you look at the market, you look at like what Hop just went for, what Devontae went for, you look at Cooper's injury history over the last couple of years, his age, his contract situation, it's like, can't give up a 2 for that. You know, I think most teams would look at it that way. So I think the Rams are going to listen. And certainly, you know, what happens, you know, not only against the Vikings tonight, but what happens against the Seahawks a week from Sunday could affect, you know, how they approach that. If they're 4-4, it looks a lot different than if they're 2-6.
So this is a situation where the next 2 football games really can help you read some tea leaves.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so. Yep.
And what about Nakua's availability?
Yeah. And I think Puka's got a real good shot to play tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah. I think he could play tonight. Yeah.
Okay. So for those who have him stashed on their injured reserve, on their fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, wait till what is it? I mean, 6:45 we'll know, right? So is that what it is for inactives, I think? 7 o'clock?
Sure, sure, 7
o'clock. It's 6:45 Eastern. So the kickoff, what's official kickoff?
8:15.
I mean, so, it's your network. You should know. I mean, you just came from a meeting, Alan. You're looking at us and asking when to go to work. Yeah. You know when to go to work.
Yeah. but I think they feel they've... I mean, it's interesting because the Rams are dealing with all of these injuries. And so, you know, Puka, I think getting a nice surprise tonight would be good, but they still are down a bunch of offensive linemen. And the two guards that they paid, or the guard in the center, you know, Steve Avila and Jonah Jackson. Obviously, Avila is a guy they've developed, and Jonah, they paid a lot of money to have him. Mm-hmm. They're probably not getting those guys back till at least week 10. Which is after the trade deadline. So there's just a lot of moving parts with where the Rams are right now. And, you know, I think it's made this like a little bit of a challenging period where teams are calling on your players. Like, what do we do now? Well, I think part of what you do is you wait out a game like tonight and see where you stand.
And the following week, too, because if you think about it here, the Rams already have a home win over the Niners in their back pocket. Mm-hmm. They go up to Seattle and beat Seattle. And they have a road win in division. They're in their back pocket, right?
Are they a half game out right now? I think, right?
Well, yeah. I mean the Niners. I mean the Niners are 3-4. They're to half game behind the Niners, right, who are technically in third place because the Cardinals at 3-4 have a back pocket win in San Francisco, and the Seahawks are only 4-3.
Yeah.
So this isn't out of the realm. I mean, there's the division right up there on our screen. This is not out of the realm at all.
No.
For the Rams to actually 2 weeks from now, if things break. Certainly with Kupp and Nacua healthy and active, they could be in first place in this division.
And they're not looking up at the Chiefs here. I mean, the Niners.
The Seahawks have the Bills this weekend, and Tua's back in Miami for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. The Niners have Dallas, which is very hungry. Honestly, like this is what's so at stake tonight and over the next 10 days, right on the cusp of the trade deadline. This is pretty big.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, who knows? Like with Matthew Stafford, like could this be, like you look at how his contract sets up, and we've talked about this since the summer, like there's an exit from the contract after this year if there's a mutual decision that they don't want, that relationship doesn't go on another year. So like they could go from being like on the fringe of contention tonight to all of a sudden being back in it with an aging quarterback, an aging receiver, but people who are going to be all in to win right now with this group. It's just... a really important couple games for the middle of the season.
Do you think Stafford could be made available at a trade deadline?
Not before the trade deadline. Okay. No, I don't think so.
So then give me Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Give me some names of players, significant players that could be made available by the trade deadline. Because you're hearing Lions fans hoping for the best to get Aiden Hutchinson back healthy next year. But you're
Super
hearing...
Bowl.
You think Super Bowl could be possible for him?
Like he... Somebody said to me that knows him really well, said that on that day in Dallas, the hand of God was on him. It's obviously not fortunate going through the injury.
Correct.
But they were 10 minutes away from a level 1 trauma center. At that trauma center, there's Dr. Alan Jones, who is the best in the country at this type of surgery that he needed. No artery damage, no ligament damage, no nerve damage. As clean a break as you're going to get.
Wow.
So, like, Aiden Hutchinson has a real chance to play in the Super Bowl. And beyond just, like, when you're looking at the Super Bowl, beyond just that, he's going to get a full offseason. So now when you're the Lions and you're talking about potentially negotiating a new contract with him, you're going to have more peace of mind because he's going to have a healthy offseason. So I think Aiden's got the best news he possibly could. Obviously, terrible injury, ugly injury. Right. But... you know, if you're talking about the aftermath, the fact that he was right there, like right by like a level 1 trauma center, Baylor, there in Dallas, and had Dr. Jones operating on him less than 3 hours after the surgery. Again, a bad circumstance, but a really good result of the aftermath.
But you're also off of, by the way, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Off of that, though, you're hearing maybe if the Browns keep losing Myles Garrett's available,
sure,
and then the Raiders keep losing Max Crosby, you can call for him. Are those even in the realm, do you think?
I think the two positions that you're looking at, we've talked about receivers, right? So there's some obvious names still out there. The Panthers with Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen. The Titans, I think, still could, if you're looking for a reclamation project, trade Treylon Burks, who's fallen down the depth chart there. there. And then the pass rushers are really interesting. So, you know, there are a couple where, yes, I think they're available. Like, I think Jadeveon Clowney in Carolina would be available, health permitting, would be available. Za'Darius Smith in Cleveland, somebody who, you know, you look at him and he is and he would be available.
But not Myles Garrett?
And then that's the thing is, like, if you're another team, I don't think it's like a hang up the phone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's a complete hang up the phone, but I think it would take the moon and the stars to go and get him. So I expect teams are going to be calling Cleveland on Myles Garrett. I expect teams are going to be calling Vegas on Max Crosby. Again, like, this is, I mean, I hesitate to even call it a new generation of general manager, because that's not what, I mean, it's been happening for a while now. Mm-hmm. But this generation of football executive is very aggressive, you know, and, you know, is going to be aggressive in what they ask about. And so you see a team like Cleveland, and yeah, I mean, you call and you say, is Myles Garrett available? Is Denzel Ward available? So there are the guys that you would see on that roster that would normally be available. Maybe your Jack Conklin's, your Za'Darius Smith, but, you know, you also ask, like, well, would you consider moving on from, you know, a franchise level player like a Garrett? And I don't think they do it, but I think they will get phone calls on him.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, Amari Cooper used to be there, so maybe that's a reason why. Mm-hmm. Dallas,
that's a bad signal. You know, like, you trade Amari Cooper, that's the bad signal that, like, we're open for business.
Well,
right?
But, no, I understand that for Cleveland, but I'm going with Dallas here. Mm-hmm. You watch DeAndre Hopkins go to the Chiefs for a five that can become a four. You watch Devontae Adams, we understand why he winds up with the Jets because mm-hmm. of Rodgers being there. And you watch Amari Cooper go, and again, I know Cooper used to be there, so maybe that's not a reason why he goes back there. But why doesn't Dallas, certainly sitting where they are and seeing what they've gotten, what they've gotten to right now, why wouldn't they be active for these people? What, like, can you take me inside the mindset? Certainly with Jerry Jones having jousting sessions on his radio show two straight Tuesdays now. Yeah. And he understands what's going on outside the building.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he's like turned up the temperature. And I,
on
you
who?
Know, like there's
on who? On
everybody.
Coach?
On everybody. And like, I think it's sometimes like Jerry has a lot of outlets that he speaks too, right? Yes. Like, so he has the radio station, he talks to the media after games. So there are some things that Jerry says where it's like you can chalk it up to Jerry says a lot of things. But like, I just like look at the pattern of behavior going back to the end of last year, the all in comment, without spending much money, we're all in. The, you know, the decision not to extend Mike McCarthy and send him into a contract year, dragging your feet with Dak and CD and sort of making them sing for their supper, right? Like, and they don't get done until deep into training camp. You know, like, you look at it and like every single decision, it's like the heat is being turned up on everyone there. And I know people there have felt it to some degree. And there's an element of it, this like life in the big city, it's what you sign up for when you go to that team. But there's also like an intentionality that it seems like Jerry is putting on it too now. And I think back to the year they traded for Amari Cooper and kind of how I believe that was Dez was still there, right? I think Dez was still there and Dez was still, you know, playing at a pretty high level then. And it was like, well, what do they have? Maybe it wasn't. I'm trying to remember now, but
we can look that up.
Either way, it was in the middle of the season. It was in the middle of the season. And I remember part of it when he talked to Dallas people was like that Jerry wanted to create some urgency. And I certainly think in this circumstance, like you could say like Jerry should take a swing here to create some more urgency, but he spent the entire calendar year doing it.
Well, if this is in fact, you know, what is happening, then at some point you can also look out from the owner's suite and see the results that the turning the heat up on everybody isn't working.
Yeah.
It's not working. Now you could also say, well, that guy's hurt. That guy's hurt. That guy's hurt, you know, and
a lot of teams are like that though.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah. You know, but, and, you know, we believe in that guy that we drafted. We believe in this kid Tolbert to step mm-hmm. up. We believe in X, Y, and Z. Rico Dowdle's going to come on strong. Yeah. And that, you know, our left tackle's going to get better. I mean, you could sit here and say all that, but, you know,
still chasing the Derrick Henry thing. You know,
but
what I mean?
He's the one who mentioned it this past time on his own.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that there's a reason for it is because you're seeing Derrick Henry have his best first seven games of his career. And Jerry then saying, you know, hey, that wouldn't have happened here, rings hollow, because you have told everybody how terrific the roster is. And we do, I do believe you've got a terrific quarterback and a terrific receiver, that you have now add a third man to this game, and suddenly it opens everything up for everybody else, despite how poorly the offensive line might be playing. It just doesn't ring true. It sounds hollow, which is why if you go out and get somebody now, you can say, we're trying, unless that doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't know. Like that's, and I do think that's so where much, I feel like we're sitting going into the big Sunday nighter against San Francisco.
And so much of it's going to have to, I think so much of the improvement is going to have to be internal too, right? Like it's like, okay, like you're going to get Micah Parsons back. What does he look like? Do you get DeMarcus Lawrence back? How does Tyler Guyton look at left tackle as your first round pick? Deron Bland, what does he look like when he's coming back? Does he, is he the player that he was last year when he had a million pick sixes and he had a really good camp too before he got hurt? So, I think a lot of this is going to have to happen internal. Mike Zimmer's defense, second half of the year, what does it look like? Because they've gotten off to some horrific starts on that side of the ball. It's just, you know, I think Jerry's probably looking at it right now and said, well, I was banking on this, 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 and this. And how many of those things have happened? And maybe some of it's under their control, some of it's injury, but like there's other things like where are you getting what you paid for? And I think, again, if you're looking to turn the temperature up another notch, you know, maybe you go get Adam Thielen. Maybe you go get Deontay Johnson. You know, maybe you go and bring somebody in who is not only going to take the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb and give Dak Prescott another guy to throw to, but also, you know, again, send the message to the team that, you know, this has got to be a contender come hell or high water.
Wouldn't it be like, what, a five for those guys?
Probably not much, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I think to some degree Carolina would want to do right by Thielen and Deontay's in a contract year, you know. So I think either of those guys, I think either of those guys would be available, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and so when does Micah return? What's your best guess here on that?
I would think he's really close. Now, whether or not it's Sunday, we'll see. I think part of that rides on how the next couple of days goes, but it's, you know, the nature of that injury, high ankle sprain, like that, the nature of that injury is kind of like it really can, at the end of it, like when a guy's coming back, it truly is day to day.
Albert Breer here in Los Angeles for Thursday Night Football on Prime Video. Vikings at Rams. You could see it tonight right here on the Roku portal. Take a break, come back. Yep. And then I always ask you what you got going on. You always have something I don't know about, so we'll ask you that. And then John Boy will join us, The Miz in studio, and Ted McGinley in studio on hour number three. And I got a top five list of the most burning questions in my mind entering week number eight of the NFL campaign. Albert Breer, a little bit more with him when we come back. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood1 to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood1.
We're back. So we're going to get you on the field. You're in the field at SoFi, right?
Yeah.
Have you been to SoFi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when? I took the kids to an Arsenal game there this summer, actually. I got the tour that every media person got. Like when I was here for camp, one of their executives, Tony, took me through. It's an awesome stadium, and I was there for the Super Bowl, of course.
It's amazing. It's like a visual. It's like you're putting on VR goggles.
It's a weird. It's like it does feel like the stadium of the future.
Honestly, it feels like you're not seeing things real. Yeah. It's like you're walking around and like Ready Player One.
I was so interested to see. Like I wondered this. Because most basketball arenas feel the same.
You're talking about Intuit Dome?
Yeah, I was going to ask. Are we talking about it? Because it looks different. It looks like a little different than basketball arenas.
Yeah, well, let's ask TJ. He's a big Clipper fan. He went last night, right,
oh, you
TJ?
Went last night?
No, I didn't go last night. The sky. That was
an inside joke there.
TJ doesn't really leave his house for
Albert,
much.
You know what I was doing, Albert? I was coaching flag football yesterday.
Yes. Oh, so yeah. I was
to go. This guy, he's
molding
like,
young boys into men. That's what he's doing.
That's what we were doing. We were teaching our kids about pursuit yesterday.
That's right.
I like it. I like it.
Flags.
I'm actually coaching a fourth grade tackle team myself.
That's right.
We're in a five-game winning streak.
Running the annexation of Marina Del Rey for these kids.
El Segundo.
Did you like that one? The annexation of El Segundo.
We're in Sherman Oaks, though. So it's I got to go way over the hill. But, you know, that's why I didn't go to the game. I didn't get home in time.
Oh, so Sherman Oaks to the Inuit Dome. You'd need a helicopter.
Blade.
Ashton's got one. The Ashton helicopter.
Ballmer was fired up to be there.
Dude, yeah, Ballmer's fired up to be anywhere. Yeah.
He's like the anti-Elon. I'm sorry. You got to love it. This guy's
look
just
at this guy
his
right
powers
there.
For good.
Unbelievable.
I really hope I have like his energy and his passion for life when I'm his age.
We're back on the radio.
His bank account, definitely.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is in your notebook that I'm not asking you about? There's always something. Let's find it.
I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting is kind of how the names of the coaches that that I think will be in the cycle for next year. You're already starting to hear like what's going to happen with Belichick? What's going to happen with Mike Vrabel? And I think the Jets firing Saleh kind of ramps that up a little bit. And
he's in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And hanging out, watching the offense for his buddy, who's crashing with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, and he's very close. And I think it's a unique situation because he's very close to their defensive coordinator too, Jeff Hafley, which I don't know that would work the same way if you didn't have that relationship because
of course,
now all of a sudden you've got like this defensive coach coming in. But his role is actually similar to Vrabel's in Cleveland where he's actually working with the offense. And so they're having him help to troubleshoot stuff and give kind of a defensive perspective to the offensive coaches on what they're doing. I think it's smart. I mean, I think Matt LaFleur is one of the best. I mean, I don't know how he hasn't won a coach of the year yet, but the things he's accomplished, managing the Rodgers thing for as long as he did, and then having Love ready to go, he's gotten so many things right.
He's 2-0 with Malik Willis.
He's done an unbelievable job.
I mean, that's what he did.
Yeah,
Love goes down. All right, we'll start Malik Willis.
Yeah,
we'll go 2-0.
Yeah, I'd say the other thing is just kind of like I'm really fascinated to see where the quarterback market goes next year. Sam's obviously played well, and we'll see what happens with Sam and the Vikings. But I think they've sort of tabled that and said let's hope we have a good problem at the end of the year.
Of course.
And then Stafford here, where are the Rams at the end of the year, and are they all in on Matthew again? Because if you look at the way that contract's set up, and it's fascinating because there have been rumblings about him wanting a new contract going back to the end of last year. So in January, other teams had sort of heard Stafford's going to push for more money, a new deal. He winds up getting a $5 million raise. And so he's making 36 rather than 31 this year. And then there's a $4 million roster bonus that's fully guaranteed at the beginning of next year and no guaranteed money after that. So there's sort of this decision point coming after the year on Stafford where, I mean, again, we talk about the next two games being really important and they are and how they approach the trade deadline. And I think the way the rest of the year goes, like, are they, when they get to 2025, going to be all-in Rams again, or are they going to be sort of retooling around the group of first and second year players, which is really impressive? Your Pukas, your Byron Youngs, your Kobe Turners, Braden Fisk, Jared Verse, like, are you going to be rebuilding around those guys?
But what about Rodgers too, right? I mean, yeah, because you would imagine Davante Adams in their conversations offline that they apparently were having for weeks.
Yeah.
That Adams at one point would have to ask Rodgers, you know, how long are you going to continue to play, right?
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't be just like, I need my exit visa from Vegas for at least the next 3 months,
right?
You would think.
And Devontae's situation is interesting because his contract, he's due $36 million next year, non-guaranteed. So you'd think he's not playing on that contract, whether it's for the Jets or anybody else. So do the Jets keep him past this year? I think obviously that ties to whether or not they're keeping Aaron. And if they keep Aaron and Devontae, what does that mean for other receivers in the roster? It's just, there's a lot of moving parts with the Jets right now. And
2-5, man. They were 2-1 for the first time since 2015. And then we found out why that they hadn't gone 2-1 for, you know, in 10 years, because then they lose every game after that, four in a row, going to New England. And now it's every week, it's kind of like it's a reset. It's just like, okay, we're going to go every week. It's a reset. We're going to London and we're going to try and see what we can do there. And, you know, and then it's now a reset with Davante Adams, who then after that loss in Pittsburgh,
he
apparently gave an impassioned speech. Like, I'm new here and I don't see the urgency. And Rodgers said it's the best speech he's heard in 20 years.
Yeah.
And then now it's a reset there with Hassan Reddick helping reset it. And it's just like,
it just feels like everything's like sort of haphazard. I think that's what you're getting at. Like, where it's like the firing of the coach, the questioning that came from the locker room over firing Robert Saleh. And look, like the record wasn't good, right? But if you're one of those players, the question you're asking is, how is this going to help us right now? Our strength is our defense. You're taking the architect of the defense out of the equation. You're taking a defensive coordinator who's done a really good job in Jeff Ulbrich, and now you're spreading him thin, right? Meanwhile, you're making the change in offense that Saleh was going to make anyway. So you got your pound of flesh, but where does that actually help us this year? Then they lose a game. Up until that point, they had not made a hard offer for, they had not, up until the point where they fired Saleh, they had not made a hard offer for Davante Adams. All of a sudden, now they're willing to give up a three that turns into a two after they fire Saleh. So now you pull that other lever. That doesn't really work. Now Hassan Reddick is coming back in. It's like, eventually, you can't keep pulling, you can't keep pushing buttons. You know what I mean? Eventually, there needs to be the foundation of something. And that's sort of where I'm at with them, is like, all right, like, they've had so many opportunities now to kind of put their foot in the ground and turn this around, and it hasn't happened. And it didn't look very good on Sunday night against the Steelers.
And then that's the backdrop of game two between the Jets and the Patriots this year, with Gerard Mayo also calling his team soft.
Yep.
They've lost every game since shocking the world with a win in Cincinnati and potentially blowing up everybody's survivor pool just four quarters into the season, you know, and Belichick saying he felt bad for the guys that he was calling soft because, and he knew each name that of every guy, obviously, because he brought them all in and reminded everybody how great they were at stopping the run last year, you know, which is the first time in Belichick's remarkable run so far as an analyst that I've really enjoyed, where he was openly, you know, or he was tasked with analyzing what's up with the Patriots, and he didn't mince any words, did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't. And I think there are a few things at work. First, I don't think that the sort of the proverbial transition of power was as clean as the Patriots wanted to make it look. You know, I think Bill, to some degree, probably had a little bit of a problem with the way that the Mayo thing was handled. I don't think they got along great, the two of them, last year. You know, when I've talked to Gerard about, the last time I talked to Gerard about it, like, he still hadn't talked to Bill since Bill was gone, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. Like, I mean, to kind of like compare it to something that you can relate with, I'd imagine Sherrone Morris probably picked up the phone and called Jim Harbaugh a few times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so that hasn't happened. And, you know, then you see, you know, Robert Kraft goes on the Breakfast Club and uses the word fired. And I just try to put myself in Bill's shoes there, right? Bill, I don't think, wanted to take part in the dog. You know, Bill, I don't think he wanted to take part in the dog and pony show in January, where the two of them stood up there and talked about the good times and everything else. I don't think that's really Bill's thing. But Bill agreed to do it. And, you know, and they were all going to make it look a certain way. Now, 9 months later, and we all know he was fired. But now, 9 months later, you go and just say it. Well, maybe that's sparking some emotion for Bill, you know, and there aren't a lot of good breakups. You know what I mean?
Right. And the fact that Jim broke up with Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Although he might say maybe Michigan broke up with him too. Yeah. I don't know. But bottom line is that at least there was a banner raised before he walked out
right.
the door.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case in New England either. Right.
And then they forgot how to throw the football.
Hey, listen. No, we had Bruce Feldman here yesterday, and he said he had a hard out because he had to go to the dentist. And I'm like, well, speaking of feeling like you're going to the dentist, that Michigan offense, you know, I'll own it. You know, yeah. Obviously it's not looking great, Belichick, part of the thing that we keep talking about here is part of his media run that he's on right now. He doesn't take any shot at the Jets and let it go.
Right.
He takes every opportunity he can take a shot at the Jets. He said that with Woody being Woody, ready, fire, aim, what else he was saying, you know? And that's why this week is kind of big in New England for Mayo to be calling the players soft. And then here come the Jets, which Belichick, one of his many Hall of Fame abilities that you can point to, his Hall of Fame abilities to take the Jets and when they were crumbling and then just break them into little pieces and leave them in a fetal position.
Right.
That was one of his areas of expertise. And that's what the Patriots kind of need to do to this Jets right. team on a losing streak this week.
I don't think it's even the win or loss element of it. I think they have to look tougher. Like, and I know that sounds simple.
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
Saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, I think they have to, I mean, it's, I don't think that there's anything, you know, I didn't play professional football, but I know enough guys who did to know that that is like the ultimate shot you can take at your own team is
big
calling
time.
Them soft. And especially when you're not prefacing it by taking blame yourself. And that's why Bill would always say, before he would say something about one of his players, got to coach it better. Always said that, got to coach it better, right? So he's taking personal accountability. And, you know, so now I think how the team responds to this is, interesting. And don't you think there was a little element of like, I don't know, that's screwing with Mayo too, is to start naming individual players
yeah.
and saying, like, I got your back, Jelani Tavai. I got your back, Devon Godchow. It's almost like screw him. Like, I would have never done that to you, you know? So how the team looks, like, I think like the intensity and the togetherness and all of that, like how competitive they are. You know, I think we're going to be able to tell a lot. Like, and again, that's not just the scoreboard. That's like just the look of the game. Do they stop the run? You know,
yeah.
are they able to run the ball? That sort of stuff.
Right. I mean,
right. I mean, it can't be any worse. They couldn't stop a cold last week.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby into Ernest Johnson. We're having a day.
Brutal. Also, AVP. Let's call some better plays.
Yeah.
Like Drake May is cooking on the first drive.
I would argue.
And then you immediately run like 10 straight runs.
See, I'd argue the defensive coaching's actually been worse than the offensive coaching.
Well, and I think Bill is clearly noticing that and not taking anything other than his shot to do that. Albert, we're up at the end of our hour for the radio. Thank you for coming here.
No,
have
thanks
a great
for having
time
me. This was great.
In SoFi. And thanks again for letting me know you're in town and making the time. John Boy and The Miz, hour two. In the minute 50 we have left, though, so Bill, despite how, I mean, he's terrific with the Mannings.
Mm-hmm.
I love him on Inside the NFL. They really are taking his personality and having fun with Ocho and Chris Long, you know, and Ryan Clark. And he's, it's just fun to watch, right?
Right.
But we all think he's going back to coaching.
Yeah.
Everybody
thinks
so?
I do. And I think, you know, keep an eye on the NFC East. He's got the personal connections to the. I don't think the Giants. The Giants aren't making a change. I don't think they're making a change.
You just said that yesterday,
yeah,
right?
I mean, unless things really careen into a ditch, like I think the Giants aren't making a change. But the Eagles could, the Cowboys could. Bill's got a relationship with Howie Roseman. Lurie and Kraft have a little bit of a rivalry there. Okay. I think Lurie would like to, wouldn't mind getting one over there. Bill's got a great relationship with the Joneses. And then my dark horse, I've said it to you before, Jacksonville. Like, Jacksonville's the one where you got the quarterback in place. You've got, I think, a core of players that isn't championship level, but some guys you can build around. And I think for the most part, he would be able to get the band back together there, maybe in a way that wouldn't be possible in Dallas or Philly, where you could, all right, we're going to bring this guy in as GM. We're going to bring offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, one of the ex-GMs, John Robinson, Thomas Dimitroff, whoever it is. Like, he'll be able to build his own thing in Jacksonville. And to me, it's like almost like when Dallas hired Parcells. That was a credibility play. So Jerry could build a new stadium.
Interesting.
Right? For Jacksonville, with their new stadium, hiring Belichick, there'd be no better credibility play than that. And he's got a relationship with Tony Khan. So there you go.
Albert Breer, dropping the mic. Well done, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Baby S is giving me money-making moves in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to have one kid who's like, I want to just live in a box and do, like, artistic dancing and paint. Ocean's going to be like, it doesn't matter if I'm broke, Mom. I'm passionate about it. And Baby S is going to be the one that says, passion doesn't pay bills, Ocean.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.